today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, I know that you are a man of the people. So what's the word these days? What do the people want?
Jim, I am indeed a man of the people. And it's simple, really. The people demand more songs about buildings and food.
All right, we got the fire pit going now, right?
It's nice, right? It's a good night for a little cracking fire.
People can probably hear this a little bit, but I'm going to just hold the mic up to it for just a moment here.
Get some ambiance.
Isn't that nice?
It's cracking fire. Yeah.
We're going to have a fireside chat.
That's exactly what we're doing. It seems very incongruous for the Talking Heads, but also in a way, you know, the Talking Heads are a little weird and spooky, so
yes.
It could be the campfire.
Yeah, no, good point, yeah. Good point. Now, will you use this fire pit a lot throughout the year?
Yeah, we'll definitely use it a lot in the fall and the spring. Yeah, when it's crisp outside, but you can sit back.
You don't
back
go
here.
Winter, too? Like,
oh, yeah, occasionally.
January, yeah. You get, because here in the D.C. area, sometimes you get those, like,
pretty nice nights. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's great to sit out here with a glass of wine or a beer and kind of wrap up and be around the fire for a couple hours. It's fun.
You get some surprisingly warm days and evenings, even in the dead of winter so often. So, this could be really nice.
Yep.
All right. Well, I take that as an open invitation, and I'm coming over.
Anytime.
All right.
Bring some bourbon.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Bourbon around the fire is ideal.
For the winter, too.
It is. Yeah.
All right.
We'll do that.
So this is great. This is like a great new addition to Rockin' the Suburbs, the fire pit.
The fire pit has been unsealed.
People will probably mock us for this. This could not be more sort of like stereotypically suburban, but it's great. And send us pictures of your fire pit.
Yes, exactly. Tag us on Instagram.
We'll put
your fire pit.
We'll put that up on the website. Right? We'll make a whole photo gallery of fire pits. Okay. So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And this week we're talking about Talking Heads.
Yeah, we are.
And specifically the first five albums.
Yep.
We like it when we do these.
The big five.
Album breakdowns. Mm-hmm. We're on album number 2.
Yesterday we talked about the debut, Talking Heads 77, which came out September 16th, 1977. Which kind of triggered the whole...
Kind of like why we're doing this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The next album came out the following year, right?
That's right. 1978. This album was released... And set in motion to me a couple things, Jim. One, visually striking album covers. Every Talking Heads album had some sort of, to me, like futuristic kind of strange design to it. And this one's
great.
Yeah, very, very unusual. And also had that map of the United States on the back cover, which always kind of puzzled me, right?
The front is like sort of a photo collage kind of thing of the four band members.
It's a little blurry. And
you also get to see the band, which I think is important, and I'm going to tell you why, and I don't want people to send me nasty emails or tweets about this in 2017.
Don't do that.
But I just want to say, for 1978, the idea that there was a woman in the band, not a singer, was still, I think, fairly unusual.
A very important point.
And to show that, I think, is important, So
totally
here's the band
agree.
On the cover.
I think that's a great point. The other really important point to mention about this album is that this is the first collaboration with Brian Eno.
Yes.
So this is where Eno's ideas came in. There are stories that David Byrne and Brian Eno, immediately bonded over the music of Fela Kuti, one of my favorite African artists. You can hear it all over this record, right? You can hear where it starts. You can hear where it ends. And it's quite fascinating. Now, it's not the full flowering that we'll have later, but there are just, some polyrhythms here and some funk that's going on that you didn't have before.
This is probably the album in the first five group that I, coming into this, I knew the least, that I probably listened to the least. And I went back and I listened to it this week a couple of times, and I was actually struck by how funky it is. You can definitely tell a difference between 77 and More Songs About Buildings and Food. Like, they definitely they turn those rhythms up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to funk, the thing that's impressive, maybe it's because they went more like the Afrobeat.
Yeah.
You know, for a band like this, a lot of times you would fail, would fall short, it wouldn't
ring
true.
It wouldn't be
funky enough. Right, exactly. Right. But I think the way they approached it and the way they sort of combined it with quirky pop sensibility,
yeah,
it really does work very well. And then, of course, bringing Brian Eno to make the whole thing sort of cohesive.
Yeah.
It's an interesting record in that sense. Like, you can definitely see where they're going. I guess you would say, like a lot of bands, it's sort of the transitional album, but it's fascinating in that way. It's really important.
And I think, you know, Eno's work is an important antecedent to what the Talking Heads were doing, you know, not directly in any way, but think about what he brought to Roxy Music, right? Mm-hmm. The way he brought those strange kind of odd touches that really fit in with Brian Ferry's singing. And then the solo records that he made in the early 70s,
that's,
you know,
right,
those four pop records that are landmarks. You can understand where, you know, somebody who's intellectual, went to art school, coming up, has all that background similar to the Talking Heads, and it kind of blended and it kind of really worked together. And give the Talking Heads a lot of credit for, you know, going with a lot of his ideas, which must have seemed kind of out there at first.
And let me ask you this about Brian Eno, because I think you know a lot more about his career than I do. He was not too far removed at this point from, or was it the same time, doing the David Bowie trilogy, the Berlin trilogy,
yeah,
right?
Was that around
the same time?
It was right after, more or less, when he finished Low and the end of the Berlin, you know, sort of boy records, right? Where he brought that same kind of strange.
Right.
But at the same time, he was also doing his ambient music, you know, music,
right,
for airports and those kind of things as well. And later, Brian Eno and David Byrne made an incredible solo album that called My Life in the Bush of Ghosts. That's just an underrated classic record of polyrhythm and blending spoken word and all kinds of found sounds. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
My point with the Bowie comparison, mm-hmm, is that, you know, he did those three records with Bowie. He did three records here with the Talking
That's
Heads,
right?
Right?
Yep.
He seems like the kind of producer who's not just like, hey, I'm going to come in and do a one-off and we're going to get this record out and whatever, the record label, I'm going to satisfy that, work for them. Like, he feels like he wants to latch on to an artist on a band,
yeah,
and really like work with them as sort of a partner, right?
And I think you can hear that pretty immediately on this record, like probably right off the first song. He also chose wisely when he found bands that were in sort of the prime or at least in a creative cycle that,
right,
he got along with.
All right, so let's hear how this album kicks off. That song is Thank You for Sending Me an Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I picked that is because as I was listening to this album over the past week,
yes,
what really struck me about that song in particular, there's others like this as well, is we're talking 1978 here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That song could exist as a new song today.
Yeah, totally. It absolutely could.
That sounds like it completely fits in with what's going on in indie rock today. So think about Arcade Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Or LCD Sound System.
Oh, yeah.
That beat is very LCD Sound System.
Mm-hmm.
So that song right there, I mean, it sounds, I hesitate to even say it sounds fresh today because it's not even that. It's like, it just sounds real today.
It does.
Right?
Yeah. And think about that, Jim, in context from the first album we talked about. It's still got the same sort of quirky tension to the lyric, but it's bigger, right? The vocals
right.
reach deeper. The rhythms are a little bit looser, a little bit funkier. There's definitely something going on. You know, there's growth. There's immediate growth. It didn't lose any of the energy or the wired up passion of the first record in the singing or the lyrics or anything. But man, it really ups the space. And it shows you right away, this band is serious and they're growing. And if you don't keep up with them, they're going to just blow away from you and go somewhere different.
Yeah, tremendous. Okay.
Yeah, great pick.
All right, let's take a quick break and then you have a pick.
I do.
So, Patrick, as we talk about more songs about buildings and food, maybe I should mention that there is more content about music and beer on suburbspod.com.
Keep going. You almost got there. Yes, there is. There is a lot more content. And, you know, lately we've had a couple of really good pieces. I don't know if you've been reading the website, Jim, but you should check it.
Every day.
Yeah, because Dan Gursky wrote a really crazy story about Blue Oyster Cult and a girl banging on his door with a hammer, which scared me. And Bob Popick, our friend who was on, you know, we published his ultimate ranking of the Smiths 74 songs, which to me stands up to any list I've ever seen. And the passion with, you know, that he puts into that and the humor, it's just he picks his favorite line from every song. So that's got to be worth a trip to suburbspod.com.
It's amazing. And if anyone goes back and listens to when we had him on the show and he talked about the Smiths, he said, oh, I'm going to crank out this ranking of 74 Smith songs with all this detail in like 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Right. It took him like 3 days.
Yeah. But he did it, man. And you can feel every ounce of sweat dripping off him. It's really great.
Yes. So where you can find this is all at suburbspod.com. Do that and keep listening to the show. And here's more show. Okay, Patrick, where are we going here with more songs about buildings and food?
Well, Jim,
where'd that title come from, by the way?
You know, that's a good question. I don't exactly know the origin of that title. Do you have any idea?
Because was Talking at 77, was that a lot of songs about buildings and food? I don't remember that being the case.
Again, another kind of weird left turn that sort of made sense and you kind of got it, but you weren't exactly sure why.
Here we go. Here's the story according to Cream Magazine.
Oh,
remember
Cream
Magazine?
That's pretty much the authority.
This is Tina Weymouth.
Okay.
She says, when we were making this album, I remembered this stupid discussion we had about titles for the last album. At that time, I said, what are we going to call an album that's just about buildings and food? And Chris said, you can call it More Songs About Buildings and Food. So I don't know if that cleared anything up.
But there it is.
At all.
Yeah. In certain songs on this record, you really get a foreshadowing of what I was talking about, how the band had still retained elements of their original, you know, uptight art school student selves, and yet expanded it with bigger ideas and showed they were listening to new music. Think of the opening. There's a funky opening to the song Warning Sign, which is an older Talking Heads song, right? And just for the first minute or so, it just grooves. Followed by The Girls Want to Be with the Girls, which is another like that song could have been on the first record, no problem. Artists Only is a really interesting song that's on the second side. Now, let's get to the iconic song on this record, which was really kind of a, you know, a semi-hit for the Talking Heads. Jim, I believe they went on American Bandstand and performed this song. It was a cover of Al Green's Take Me to the River.
Thank you.
man, again, you know, they show their flexibility and breadth here, you know, by playing an Al Green tune and taking it, you know, somewhere in the on the charts. Again, any alt rock station, if they played it, you'd get it immediately. Like, oh yeah, that's early Talking Heads.
It, I'm looking up here right now to see. Oh, here we go. Here's the charts. That was on the U.S. Billboard Singles Chart, number 26.
That's incredible. So that was a top 40 hit.
The thing that's amazing about Take Me to the River is what incredible guts it takes to cover that song, because you're talking Al Green.
Al effing Green, man.
I mean, we're talking one of the great soul singers
pretty
of
damn serious.
All time.
Yeah.
And to take that on and say, you know, we can make a different version of this song and people will like it.
Yeah.
Or respond to it in some way. That takes incredible guts. And then the way they pulled it off, too, because they didn't obviously try to out-soul Al Green. You're not going to do that.
No.
They made it this, you know, sort of like college rock
they
sort
definitely
of.
Definitely made it their own thing, man.
Thing. It still has elements of, you know, sort of R&B to it, but in a true way that, that they would approach the song, right? And
exactly.
Which is really what you want from a cover song.
Yeah.
But to this day, it holds up. People still, I mean, you would consider that one of the great covers of all time.
Yeah.
You would consider that a song that people just, you know, if they even if they don't know Al Green, they don't know it's a cover song, they still respond to this song. They love it. I mean, it's very well regarded, right?
Yeah, it's a classic American song in many ways. But the song I want to talk about, Jim, and I want you to play for me and our listeners right now, is the last song on side one. I've talked a little bit before in history about my theory on the last song on side one, how it's always the hidden gem, or can often be. And this is the one on More Songs About Buildings and Food.
Of bass on that song,
you know, incredible. So I think there's that. I think there's, you know, the musicianship being ramped up to the maximum degree on this record, right? The guitars could come straight off an Eno record, right? The way they are. And interestingly to me, Jim, you know what this song is about?
The song is called "Found a Job."
This song,
what
to
is
me,
it about?
I understand it is about a couple that saves their relationship by creating a television show about their own lives. You know, Bobby's on the street again, scouting up locations. I mean, the whole thing, you know, made in 1978 is kind of crazy.
It is crazy, but I mean, it fits with sort of the David Byrne
it does.
Songwriting,
yeah.
Right? There's always like just stories about like odd characters and things like that, right? Which, of
true
course,
stories.
Right. That's what I was going to say. That, of course, manifests itself in, you know, a movie that he went on to make later on.
Kind of David
stories,
Lynchian,
right?
In ways,
right.
and very American. But we here, I think we hear the band at their farthest reach on, you know, that had ever been recorded up to this point. They're delving into the African rhythms. They're more uptight than ever, and they still haven't lost their soul. And it sounds like they're figuring out where they're going, and they're really excited about it. Like, they love where they're headed, and they never expected to be there. And that's why I like the song so much.
That's cool. All right. Okay. But that is, like we said, sort of what we think of as kind of the transitional
yeah.
record,
yeah.
right? We're getting to the really good stuff the next couple of days, right?
We're starting to get
right?
to the heavier duty Eno stuff coming right up.
Okay, so tomorrow mm-hmm. we'll talk about album number 3, yep. which is Fear of Music.
Yes, we will.
And then, you know, a couple more records the rest of the week. So stick with us for Talking Heads Week. Listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
Every day, especially every day this week. That's how you get the Big Five.
Big Five.
Find us on Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, other podcast platforms. Uh-huh. You can also hear the show and read about the show and other great content at suburbspod.com. You can call our Suburban Party Line and tell us what you think about the Talking Heads or
Please
any other
do.
Band or any music or any beer or any fire pits or patios or suburban settings, whatever you want to talk yeah. about. Just call that up. That number is
612-440-1984.
And you can also email us rock@suburbspod.com or find us on social media like
yep.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Suburbs Pod. All right, man. Let's do this again tomorrow.
All right. I love
it. I'll just crash here for tonight.
Okay.
All right. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. You have more songs to play. Right. Okay. All right.